Well, good morning, everybody. How are we? Good. It's good to see you. I'm going to start with just a few remarks first, if you wouldn't mind. I just want to say genuinely thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. You know, I worked in pastoral ministry for 10 years, 10 or 11 years before moving into Baptist student ministry work, BSM work at Wayland Baptist University. And when you work in the church and you live life with the people of that church, you know that there are all kinds of seasons that each of you go through. And it is a beautiful thing to have God's Spirit leading your pastor and your people to speak truth and to speak life in every moment, in every season, in every circumstance. And so to be here before you, to be invited and to be welcomed, which I have been welcomed warmly, so thank you for that. I haven't had anybody come up to me and really test me with the iron, you know, but when I get to speak and when I get to preach, I know that it's going to bring forth something for you. By God's power and His Spirit, it's going to bring forth something for you. And my prayer today is that every word that comes from my mouth and from my mind and my heart is the Lord's. That for you it would bring life, that it would bring, if it need be, healing. Maybe that's peace. But whatever I pray, whatever it may be, I do pray that today you find this to be a blessing. But again, thank you for allowing me to be here today. Just as Josh mentioned, I am the BSM director at Wayland Baptist University. I came back in August 2020. I'd been praying for a little while about being able to come back to this area. My wife and I, we met at Wayland. We got married in the Baptist Student Ministry building at Wayland. Went away for about 7 years. And then if anybody in here knows Donnie Brown, who's now the director of spiritual life at Wayland, he was my BSM director. And my wife and I were traveling back with our daughter from a little vacation. I see Donnie's name come across my phone. And, you know, I'm driving. I have it mounted. And I look at it just because it draws my attention. I go, Kelly, who's my wife? I said, Kelly, Donnie's calling. Donnie's calling. And she's like, well, pick it up or answer it. You know, don't pick it up. Answer it. And that's when he offered the invitation to interview for the BSM director job and came in August 2020 in the middle of craziness, right? And came back, and the Lord has incredibly blessed our family and our ministry and our time here back at Wayland and in this area. And also, as an employee of the Baptist General Convention of Texas, I just want to extend to your church, thank you for your continued support of the ministries of not only your church in this area, but also the BGCT, because without that, I know that I would not be where I am. Being an extension of your love and generosity to the students at Wayland Baptist University. And so there's more, and I'm not here today to report. Okay, I'm here today to talk and to share God's word. But throughout the thread and the theme of God's faithfulness, even in this sermon in my time back here at Wayland, you'll see how God has been working. But I first want to start with prayer, and then move into an introduction as we move forward to this morning. So if you would please bow your heads and pray with me. God, it is so obvious, even from what I've seen this morning, driving here and being here in this church, that the people of this church pray, and that they seek your guidance and your direction. And God, I just want to, again, with this congregation who prays, pray along with them to you, thanking you for this morning. And thanking you, Father, for the opportunity that we all have to be here. And for those who aren't able to be here, to be able to see on live stream and to participate as a fellowship from a distance. God, I just want to thank you that we get to be here today. So, Father, my prayer is that you will lead us and guide us as you would see it best. That you would transform our hearts and our minds, even more so than you have done in our lives. Whether that's been a few weeks or whether that's been many years, that God, you will transform our hearts to love you and to worship you. And now this is a moment I'm going to invite each and every one of you, if that you would just pray for yourself. Pray that God would speak into your heart and move you today. And if you would please graciously pray for me, that God would speak powerfully through me, that my words would be clear. Father, we love you and we thank you. Use this time, and we pray this all in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. So a couple weeks ago, I returned from a mission trip. If you've never heard of Go Now Missions is an extension of Texas BSM, Baptist Student Ministry. A lot of college students this past summer, about 190 of them were commissioned and have gone out to the world to serve and to share the name of Jesus Christ. And this past year, I was a part of the serving team or serving committee with Go Now, and I was able to go lead a team of students, even students outside of Wayland Baptist University, to Greece, to Athens, Greece. And now, the instant thought you might have, some of you might have, is, whoa, I bet you had a terrible time. I bet that was so hard, going to the beach, you know. Well, we went to work with refugees in Athens. To give you context of Athens, Greece, there's about 5 million people who live in Athens, Greece, and it is packed, building to building to building. It's not like our neighborhoods, and it's definitely not like your pastures, right, where you have some room to see. When you go up onto Mars Hill there in Athens, where Paul preached in Acts 16, mentioning that he has seen monuments and dedications set up to the unknown God, and he says to the people of Greece, I have come to show you who the unknown God really is, Jesus Christ. Mars Hill is where he preached that. And we were up on Mars Hill on the first day we got to Athens, and we could look out, and it's a full 360 view of buildings right next to each other everywhere. Millions of structures with 5 million people. And millions of those people are people fleeing war, people fleeing famine in a refugee moment. And so we were given the opportunity to partner with missionaries on the ground in Athens to share the name of Jesus with people who were seeking out hope. And so while we were there for almost 2 weeks, we were able to share the name of Jesus. And then, as we're departing, I'm leading a team of students back eventually, like terminally to Dallas. And we get to Canada, as we're flying from Athens to Canada, we realize our Dallas connection had been canceled. And so we get to Toronto, and if anybody in here has flown and known that your plane, your connecting flight is canceled, you're running to that counter, and you're going to go and you're going to try and find an opportunity to get on another plane home as soon as possible. So I say, all right, team, I'm going to go ahead of you. You just meet me. And I start going. I'm power walking. Everybody's power walking. And then a couple of people are running. But I get to the counter, and there's like 500 people in front of me. I'm not kidding at all. Like, I'm not here exaggerating. There were about like probably 500 or so people in front of me. And I instantly thought, oh no. There is a problem. When you have this many people in front of you, it's not just you, it's everyone. So I waited in line for approximately an hour and a half, and we have people on the ground in Dallas who are trying to call and trying to get us reservations for a new flight, all this stuff, and so I'm able to step away, okay? I'm able to step away because they got that taken care of, and then we go to find our baggage or our luggage in the baggage claim area, and then I get to that line, and there's about 300 people in that line. And I, no kidding, stood in that line for 3 hours, got to the counter, and by the grace of God, can have a smile on my face, right? And I say, I need our bags. And they say, we have nobody to pull bags, and we don't even know where your plane's luggage is. The entire plane's luggage was lost. And I'm kind of wondering, wonder where that could be, right? But in the end, we figure out we're not leaving Toronto for 2 days. We can't get on another flight. And so going through this, and probably some of you have been through a process like this before too, where you feel stuck, or you feel far from home and stuck, or you feel far from home, stuck, and frustrated, where you're like, people are testing the Jesus in me. Anybody seen that t-shirt before? Some of you are secretly wearing it underneath, like, it, you know, never mind. But there really are moments, though, in our lives where our faith is tested. And our faith is tested to the extent where we are responding in one of two ways. In a way of the flesh, in a way of, this is the worst possible situation I could ever imagine being in. This is an opportunity for me to give full vent to how I feel to the people I'll never see again. Or we can, because of our faith, and because we have the opportunity to abide in Christ, we pray. We pray. There are many people throughout the world, like the people in Athens, who are far from home, who don't have a home anymore. And there are some people, maybe in here even, who at times have felt far from home. Isn't it true that when we feel far from home, we feel discomfort, right? Or we may feel like being far from home is daunting, like we've lost control. Because I'll be very honest, leading a team back home, getting them back to their families, and having no idea if or when that's going to happen in the near future, it causes you to have at times maybe some anxiety or some thoughts of what's to come. But I knew in that moment, as we were returning home and as we were stuck in Toronto for a few extra days, which really isn't that bad, I began to pray. And the prayers that I began to pray were this, that God, I know I don't have control over the situation, but I trust you. God, I know that I can't get the plane off the ground with us on it, but God, you're working, and I trust that. It's a hard thing to arrive at that, because our ego is powerful. Because the way that we think things should be done is powerful in our minds. To lay down our pursuit of completion in things at times is a hard thing. Taking up humility is hard. But the reason today's sermon is called Strength is because where we are weak in situations outside of our, with circumstances outside of our control, the strength that we have in those moments comes from the Lord through our prayers. That as we plead with the Father, and the Father who loves His children, the Father who's willing to give every good and every perfect gift to His children, that when we pray to Him for strength, He will certainly give it. He will give it. This morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are with the circumstances of your life. I don't know where you are with the condition of your faith. I don't know that. But there's a beautiful reality for you, is that there is a God in heaven who is with you, who loves you, and is strengthening you even now. God pours forth His love to us, right? And we also must give attention back. You know, the beauty of God's Spirit being poured forth to us is also, is not just that He's constantly pouring forth, but there's a beauty beyond that. It's the beauty of, while God pours forth to us, we can also participate in pleading with Him in the name of Jesus. Because you know the end of the verse is, for God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that while we need strength, we can remember the cross. We can remember that God Himself died for us. That in our greatest moment of weakness, He was and is our strength. And through the death of Christ, we can have communion and fellowship with God. And that comes in powerful ways through prayer. Richard J. Foster is a Christian author, mainly surrounding spiritual disciplines. And he says about faith, or excuse me, he says about prayer that prayer is the thing that catapults us into communion with God on a daily basis. And so today we're going to, and I have to throw out an apology here too, is in your bulletins it says Colossians. That is nobody's fault but mine, all right? Sincerely, nobody's fault but mine, all right? I forgot to update your pastor this week on the change of scripture, okay? So we are in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn there. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, going to verse 21, it says this: "For this reason, I," this is Paul writing, "bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." In this passage, we see the Apostle Paul talking about strength in at least two different occasions, or two different sentences. He opens up and he says, "For this reason," for some reasons he's mentioned, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you, each and every one of us, to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in our inner beings." Today, the truth is we all need strength. We all need strength to face what is to come. I believe there's a saying for the Navy SEALs is that the only easy day was yesterday. Like, I think if I'm wrong on that, please forgive me. But the only easy day was yesterday. And for them, they have intensive training and they have other things that they take care of. But for us, I mean, there is a reality that that is true for us too, that sometimes the only easy day for us is yesterday. That what's before us in this day we know can be hard. Maybe you're a young parent, right? Or you're a parent of a young child or children. My wife and I, we have almost three-year-old little girl. There are days where her attitude and disposition is heavenly. And there are days where she does nothing but scream. Anybody else know that feeling, right? Right? Talking about strength, the Holy Spirit strengthening you as a parent, which I'm not trying to make light of that. Like, there really is a strength that we need as parents. A strength to be the example of Christ in every situation. Although sometimes we're not, if we're being honest. Yet again, the forgiveness of the Lord is real too, and we're thankful for that and his renewal there. But we need power. We need strength in those moments. Maybe you are going through school, and there are times when you think this may not necessarily be worth it. This may not necessarily be that helpful. But God is going to give you strength to glorify him with your mind in all ways. Maybe you are in the middle of a circumstance that I have no idea how to mention it. But God will strengthen you. Maybe your family is having the roughest time you've ever seen. But God will strengthen you with power in those moments. Maybe deep down, your faith is in shambles. but God will strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit to live renewed once again. So Paul here says that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I would be doing a disservice to everyone here if I did not mention more fully Christ, our Lord, and what he's done for us. You know, when I think about the life of Jesus, I think about how Jesus, when he was fulfilling his earthly ministry, which we think is about 3 years of official ministry from about 30 to 33 years old, that during that time, the Bible on multiple occasions accounts that Jesus stepped away from ministry and prayed, that he would go and he would find a place to be in, maybe not isolation, but in solitude to pray. And there's even in John 17, this beautiful moment, what you can even read and may title it differently, but the high priestly prayer of Christ in John 17, before he is to be arrested and then taken into his trials, where he is then led from his trials to torture and then on to crucifixion. And then from that crucifixion, there is death and then death for 3 days, and he raises again on Sunday to show that even death and sin does not have the power to hold down the power of God. But Jesus would step away and find solitude and pray, because even Jesus himself set forth this beautiful and perfect example that when things get complicated, we're to step away in solitude and to pray. Because here's what prayer is. Not terminally, but here's what prayer is that it is the stepping into communion with God Almighty. There was this guy one time, he shared this illustration of sorts where he talked about a child who went to school and had a really rough day at school, and then his father got a call from the school and said, "Hey, your child had a rough experience today with bullying. He doesn't want to come home, but he wants to stick it out throughout the rest of the day. But let me tell you about some of the details of that." So the father knows and the father gains understanding what his son, his child, went through. And then as he goes to his back gate to open the gate that his son may come in off the bus, he asks his son, "Son, how are you?" And his son walks by and he says, "I'm okay," and keeps going. Now the father knows everything that the son went through that day. He knows everything. But yet the father longed for communion. The father longed to know more from the mouth of his child. Now we all know that God knows all things about you, about your day, about your mind. He knows all things, and thanks be to God for his love. But he wants to hear from you. That's the beauty of communion with the Almighty God, is that we can speak to him. We can share with him. We can pour forth our hearts and our minds and our concerns and our joys with him, because he cares for you. He cares for you. Communion is reciprocal. It is given and it is returned. Communion is reciprocal. In this book that I brought here today, it's called Renovation of the Heart. If anybody's looking for a really great book to read about spiritual renewal of the heart, it's Renovation of the Heart by Dallas Willard. And now there's this quote on page 209, and he says this. He says, "Once we clearly acknowledge the soul, we can learn to hear its cries. Jesus heard its cries from the wearied humanity he saw around him. He saw the soul's desperate need in those who struggled with the overwhelming task of their life. Such weariness and endless labor was, to him, a sure sign of a soul not properly rooted in God, a soul, in effect, on its own. On its own. Communion with God is the stepping closer to God. To have communion, to have conversation, to have intimacy, to have fellowship, to have life lived together. Stepping closer to God in communion is abiding. When we step close to God in prayer, He surely draws near to us. But there are moments in our lives when we get busy, or there's something going on, or you can fill in the gaps. I don't have to repetitiously say this over and over again, struggle, 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 right? But you get it. It's that there are times, though, when we get busy and we step away, and it's almost as if we begin this process of forgetting the Lord. And in our forgetting the Lord, or forgetting Him in subtle moments throughout the day, it's almost a literal step away. And the devastating reality to this is that as we step away from the Lord, or as we begin to forget the Lord, or maybe not necessarily include Him in what we've included Him in before, in the distancing, we're producing loneliness or aloneness. We are stepping away from God at times. But I think oftentimes about the song, one of the songs that just is one of my favorite hymns, and it's Come Thou Fount. And in that song, in that hymn, the lyrics go, bind my wandering heart to Thee. I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. So Lord, take this heart and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. And maybe the first step today, for all of us, maybe this is, and I'm not your pastor, and I'm not going to speak from conviction as if I was, conviction to you as if I was, but maybe the first thing that you need to do, or maybe we need to consider, is this, is that we need to pray first, Lord, again, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Keep it and seal it, that I may know You now, and that it may be sealed for the days to come and for the eternity that through Your Son Jesus, I get to experience. And so today, like I said, I'm going to mention a little bit about Wayland BSM. But before I transition into that moment, my encouragement for you, final encouragement from the Scriptures, is to remember that it is the Lord who strengthens you, that it is through His Spirit that we are strengthened, that it is through Christ and His gospel, His good news of His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection for us, that through the power of the Father resurrecting the Son, that Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we too might have the opportunity to live and to walk in the newness of life, that through the power of Jesus, we can again have communion with God in every moment and forever. Now, at Wayland BSM, what we value most is that young people who do not know the Lord, that they would come to know the Lord. This past year was a year of, people have used the phrases a year of rebuilding or a year of returning to what may be a glimpse of normal, whatever it was. But for us, something that's always been is that we want students to know the Lord, and we continued in that. And this past year, we saw 11 students come to trust in Jesus Christ for the very first time in their lives. 11. Can you imagine the magnitude of the 11 parties, right, just for Wayland students alone that heaven was having, right? When students were turning to know the Lord, and to trust in Him for the very first time. I want to tell you that the reason that Wayland BSM exists is so that students will come to know the Lord and have their hearts sealed by the Lord, not only for ministry on earth, but for an eternity with God. And so, how is God using us, you may ask? How is God using us? Well, let me tell you a story yet again with the theme of prayer. It was October 2020. It was 2 months into my time back at Wayland, and we were having our fall revival. And we were in Harrell Auditorium, and it was, I believe, the third night of four. And Donnie Brown, who I've mentioned already, got up on stage and he was leading us through a time of prayer. And this was specifically a time of prayer for others, that others who don't know the Lord, who haven't trusted in His name, that they may finally make that commitment and do that. And for 2 months, I had been leading a chapel group, because we divided up for a little while with our chapel services. And so, divided up a little bit, had our chapel group. I had about 20 athletes in my chapel group, and there was one guy in there who was 2 weeks late, and I was like, does anybody know where this guy is? And they're like, yeah, he's from England, and so he was quarantined coming back. And so I was like, okay, sounds good. I'll just be intentional about catching him up and everything. And so I got to meet this guy. He came in, you know, he was just hanging out. This first time he had been in my chapel group, first time talking to me, and it was a moment where I got to share some pretty important things about my life with that group, and constantly were sharing the message and the story of Jesus Christ and the gospel, how He came to live, die for us, died and was resurrected. And so I was sharing this story, and I remember there was just this, like, there was this gaze in his eyes that he was intently listening. And I was like, God's working in your heart. I see it. And from that moment, began pouring forth into his life. And he graciously allowed me to establish a reciprocal interaction where I shared with him my faith and he shared with me sometimes his hesitation to know anything about Jesus or to trust in God and all these things. But over 2 years' time, just a fast track before I tell you the really cool moment, fast track 2 years ahead, right before he graduates, he says, I want to surrender my life to Christ. God had done a work in his life over 2 years that led him to that moment. But backtrack to October 2020. I remember Donnie at Revival was leading us to pray, and so I went to the front, and most of us were kneeling, and I knelt down, and I prayed for Lewis. That was his name, Lewis. And I remember in that moment I prayed and I said something like, God, I want Lewis to know you and to trust you so badly. Will you please continue to give me opportunities to make your name known and make your name great in his life through my testimony? And as soon as I said amen, I felt my phone go off in my pocket. And I was like, okay, it's not appropriate time yet to like check this when I'm praying. Everybody's going to be like, what's this new BSM director doing, right? He's over here kneeling down. He's supposed to be praying, but he's checking something, right? No, I waited, and I looked, and it was from Lewis. And Lewis said, hey, my mini fridge died, and I have milk all over my dorm room floor. It stinks, but do you have anything laying around your building that I could possibly use? Guess what? There was one mini fridge. There was one mini fridge, and I said, I will be there in 15 minutes. So I went to our building, I took that mini fridge, and I put it in my car, and I'm praying the entire time. I'm like, Lord, you answer that prayer. I believe this is going to be a moment where I can share with him just my conviction, what God's doing in his life, what I believe he's doing. And so I'm loading this in there, and then I get to his dorm, and I call him, and I say, hey, I'm out here with the mini fridge. And he says, okay, meet me here, bring it on in. So lugging this mini fridge into his dorm room, okay, and I set it down for him, and I said, hey, you want to hear something I think is amazing? And he said, yeah, what's up? And I said, just 30 minutes ago, we were at our fall revival service, and we were led to pray for someone on our campus that we just have maybe a burden for, or somebody that we care about. And I said, man, I prayed for you that I would have the opportunity to share with you my testimony and what I believe God's doing in your life. And as soon as I said amen, can you imagine this? You texted me. And I said to him, I believe that God has something great planned for your life. And he sat there and he was listening, and then he said, do you really believe that? And I said, with all my heart. I said, with all my heart, I believe and know that God's doing something great in your life and that he wants you to trust him. And from that moment, God's beautiful grace snowballed into him surrendering his life to Jesus almost 2 years later. And so does prayer work? Yes, it works. It'll work for you, even in this time of your life. Whatever season, whatever circumstance, whatever condition of your heart, it just takes saying, Father, I'm here and I need you. I'm here and I need you. And so this year, what we're praying for at Wayland as a whole and at Wayland BSM is that every student who steps on our campus will know the gospel message of Jesus and that they will respond in a way that they will give their lives to him at some point in time. We are committing to pray for every student by name. And my ask to you is that as you're laboring here in Olton or elsewhere, and as we're laboring on our campus for the gospel, will you just remember us and pray for us? Wayland has a lot of athletes who don't know the Lord. Hundreds who don't know the Lord. Will you pray with us as we labor with the gospel that they may come to know him? Will you please pray for that? Because we pray for you. We pray for you. We value our local churches. We value the partnerships we have. Because without you, we wouldn't be here. And we pray for you. So, without keeping you from lunch too much longer, right? May I pray for you now. God, we love you and we thank you so much for this day. And God, I just want to, again, thank you for your grace in allowing us all to be here. And Father, I want to thank you for the grace that everybody here at First Baptist Church Olton has shown to me. I just want to thank you and ask that you will bless them abundantly in their ministry, that you will bless them abundantly in their lives, that as they seek to share the gospel with their families, with the people of the city, with their coworkers, with anybody they interact with, that God, you will bless their words, and that in the hearing of the gospel, the people they speak with will trust in you and believe in you. Father, I also want to pray and thank you for bringing home safe the youth ministry. As I went to camp to hear more about what you've done for us, God, I thank you for bringing them home. And Father, I pray that the same work you did in the hearts of those young people, that you will do that same beautiful work in the hearts of the children, of the families of this church, as they go off to preteen camp tomorrow. That God, you will protect them with abundant safety, that you will preserve them, that you will keep them healthy, and that you will help their hearts to see and to know that you are all that you say you are, and that you are worth their lives for this life and on into eternity. God, I pray that you will bless Pastor David and his family as he leads this church. That God, you will continue to strengthen him and to give him the greatest of affections and devotion to you. That from his devotion to you would be an outpouring to this congregation. That beautiful things will continue to happen. Father, there's so much that we could say, but we don't have enough words and we don't have enough time to praise you in full. So Lord, we say thank you for this day and this time. We praise your holy name and thank you for your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.